Well, I don't know about you, Bones, but after, the tough losses of the Cleveland series, much needed day off here to kind of reset and look forward to the next stretch of the schedule.
Big time. There's about 20-ish games left in May. We got to put some of that struggling behind us and look forward to see what the Jays got up on deck.
Well, we are going to look at that 20-ish stretch specifically. He was a Blue Jays coming up. And a new segment in the final segment of the show. You're going to have to stick with us to find out exactly what it is. It's Locked On Blue Jays, and it starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Blue Jays for your Tuesday episode. We appreciate you making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check us out on Twitter at Locked On Jays with Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Schulman. Bones, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, my friend. How about you?
I am good. And although we are separate today, we are back in the same town. And perhaps we could have some in-person Locked On Blue Jays recording coming up.
That's facts. We're reunited once again.
Yes. While we are together, the Jays were apart for an off day. We are recording this on Monday, by the way, ahead of the Tuesday two-game series opener against the Yankees. We already previewed the Yankees game, though, or the Yankees series yesterday with our Sunday Scaries for our Monday episode. So check out that if you want to hear more about the Yankees. We're going to kind of stretch it out a little bit, widen the scope here. 30 days or 30 games down for the Jays, 17-13. Neither of us thrilled with that record, but better to be four games over than four games under. Now there's about a 20-game stretch to end May. It's actually 18 to end May, but we wanted to not just siphon off one of the three games at home versus the White Sox. So we're going to go all the way from now until June 2nd. Preview what should be a pretty interesting 20-game stretch coming up. You got this Yankees series. You go to the Rays and play Tampa for the first time. But after that, Bones, some definitely winnable series, all things considered, with some of the stuff Toronto's had to play already in the first month.
Well, you say that, and the big one that sticks out is that the Reds come to town. If that's not a sweep, you're doing something wrong, Toronto. This is a team that they've got fans defecating in the Toyota truck. I don't know if you saw that post on Reddit, but some guy posted, "Hey, I'm going up there. I'm gonna poop in that truck."
I ever got on a Reddit post.
That was clever. This is a team that's in shambles. Everyone wants the owner to sell. They've got -6 wins or something like that. That should be a sweep. So the Red Series, that is what stuck out to me immediately. You need 3 wins right there.
For sure. And I think another pivotal series to at least win, if not sweep as well. Look, Seattle's got a lot of talent, but they have not put it together so far this year. They are 3 games below. You get Seattle and Cincinnati back to back. I think you need 5 wins out of there. St. Louis on the road is going to be a little tough. The Angels are playing well. I'm not sure if I bought in yet on them, but we will see. And then the White Sox are having – you're totally in? They got talent. They got talent. We'll talk about that a little bit more when we go up to that series. But the Angels are leading the AL West. Let's not forget that for sure. And then the team we thought would easily be leading the AL Central, the White Sox, is the end of this stretch, and they have played a weird start to the season. I say all of this to say, after going 17-13, this is a pivotal stretch here where the schedule at least lightens up a little bit. What are your, maybe, I don't know, what's your expectation here in terms of wins? And you can give me, though, like a best and worst case scenario if you want to. You can take it any direction.
I'm going to go series by series with you here.
I'll do the math.
I'm going to tell you what I think needs to happen. Please do the math, because if you know one thing about me, it's that I'm not great in the math category. But that's why I'm doing this.
I'm finger counting, by the way. But this is not a video pod right now.
Okay. Which should be coming soon, by the way. Yes. So you start with the Yankees series. The Yanks are hot. I get that. This is a team that is 20-8 now. Nestor Cortez nearly threw a no-hitter against the Rangers in the last game of that series in a 1-0 victory. The Yanks are good. You can't really get around that, but you need a win there. I think you got to split that because you're probably going to lose one of those games depending on who's starting. You're okay, so it's what? Tyone for the Yankees in game 2, And then game one. Yes, it's Barrios and Tyone. And then the other game is Kikuchi and Severino. Those are both going to be tough, but I think if you get a couple runs on Tyone early, that's an easy dub in the nooner.
Yeah,
so I think you need one win there. So you're 1-1 right now after the first series. The next one, you go to the Trop to play the Rays. This is a series that is similar to that of the Red Sox as well as the Yankees, where you're going to be playing a team that you're likely going to be seeing down the stretch of the season, even though the Red Sox absolutely stink. Don't forget that.
Yeah, they're not playing well.
Yeah, they're bad. Thank God. But the Rays are not bad, and you're likely going to be battling it out with the Rays either for the division lead or for a wild card spot near the end of the season. So these three games are going to be crucial. It doesn't really matter when you play division rivals. They're always big games. So I don't care that it's in May. Those are big games. And I think you need to get two there. So I think you got to win that series.
To that end, you got Gausman going game one, and then you have Manoah versus Kluber in the finale. Both kind of feel like wins. With three wins. We're going to, kind of piece this together.
So three and two.
Three wins so far in the first five.
And then you host the Mariners. This is where I feel like after they go 3-2, that's where they would let me down and then only win one game. But you need to get at least two there as well. Because like we said, the Mariners are not playing good ball. This is a team that has talent, and last year showed us that they can put it together when they need to. And they've got a lot of young kids on that team, whether it be Jared Kelenic, Kyle Lewis. They've got a lot of young pop. Ty France at first base is a really fun personality. But the pitching staff really isn't there for them. And J.P. Crawford, as fun as he is at shortstop, he isn't the greatest hitter in the world. So 13-16 right now in the middling AL West. I think you need two wins from Seattle. So that is, 5-4?
We're at 5 wins five and right three? Now and 3 losses. Yeah.
Then the Reds
Cincinnati,
come to town.
We've kind of already covered.
Yeah. Sweet. So the Reds come to town. You got to get 3 right there. If you get anything less than a sweep, it's a failure. And I mean that.
So you have them 8-3 in the next 11 games.
Yes. Well, they should be. I mean, there's really no reason. If they aren't, that's when I'm really going to start hitting the panic button, because this is a team that came into the year with those kind of expectations. And they really, let's be frank, they have not performed to that level yet. I mean, 17-13 is fine, but it's not going to beat the Yankees or the Rays. Just not.
No, that's fair.
So then you play some interleague ball once again after that Red series. You go to St. Louis to see the Big Arch, and you're going to say, oh, wow, cool, Big Arch. I think they probably split that series. I think that's okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. St. Louis is pretty good. They're not great. They're not terrible.
You probably do get a Gausman game there, though. Because if you're going to have
Gausman,
yeah, you're going to have a Gausman game there.
There's a chance you get Gausman and Barrios.
Which would be nice.
But then again, it's hard to project that far in the future.
Yeah, I think you probably get a Gausman start there. Because they wouldn't want to waste him on the Reds, really. You probably get a chicken strips dub against the Reds, and then you have Gausman to go for the 2-game set against the Cardinals. That's where it gets a little bit tough, though, and you feel the grueling part of a baseball schedule, because you have that nice little homestand, and then you're on the road to St. Louis, and right after that, you ship out west for a 3-game set in Los Angeles against the Angels. You do get a day off in between, of course, but still, I mean, you're playing 3 games. In Anaheim, or actually it's a 4-game set, excuse me. So you play 4 games against LA. And I think, honestly, I think it really depends on where the Angels are at that point. Because like you said, it's a little bit teetering. Because coming into the year, the pitching was not too impressive. And you obviously have the two best players in the sport in Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. But otherwise, I don't know. There isn't a lot there. Anthony Rendon's bad. David Fletcher's fine. Max Stassi's fine.
Marsh is fine.
But Taylor Ward has shown up and been Mike Trout too. So that's been something for them as well. So I think you get 2 wins there. It would be really nice to get 3, but I think you're going to have to get 2. So what does that put me at?
11-6 going into the final 3-gamer versus the White Sox.
And the White Sox, they're currently not very good. Did you see today their right fielder dropped an easy line drive?
I did, and I did see what people were saying about the broadcaster, and I believe there was actually a... Yeah, there was a convergence of two words being said at once.
Yeah.
Which people made the guy was, look... Yeah,
it was a whole
people thing. Thought he said a swear word, but he did.
He said, are you kidding me? So.
Yeah, and then another person said sheets, and if you had the first two letters...
I thought it was sheets, obvious that he said kidding me, too. I don't know why there was a huge...
You know, it's the internet.
It's true.
But three-gamer against the White Sox.
Three-gamer against the White Sox. I think I'm confident enough to say they get two there. Arguably, they sweep. But it depends on who they pitch.
So, I mean, what are you locking in on? Because
I'm going to say it's two wins. Two wins.
So you have them at 13-7. We did not clarify this before. I was going to come say that they would also finish 13-7.
Wow. 20 games. That's wild.
That would put them 10 games above 500 through 50, which is good. Really good. That's like back on track, I think. If you know, that's fine enough for me. And I know that it's a small difference there, but 6 games up in a 20-game stretch is a lot better than 4 games up in a 30-game stretch.
Yeah, that is a lot better. You do improve.
I might trade, like, I'm a little bit lower on the Angels. I do think they're going to come back down. And the Jays do have some trouble at the drop sometimes, so I could see, like, a flip-flop there. But I do think 13 out of 20 is probably...
Well, that is what I think they need to do. In terms of what I think they will do, I think there's definitely a chance they go down to Tropicana and kind of get thumped. That's a scary series. I mean, the Rays have been this team.
The Rays are scary.
They have been this team for the last couple of seasons that is so good, not because they have the best players on the planet, but because they try harder in every game than any other team in the league does. I think it's like as simple as that. I mean, these guys go out there and play every single game like it's Game 7 of the World Series. So,
and they got to Game 7 of the World Series.
Exactly.
Not that
long ago. So you have to give them that respect, and that, you know, that could be a few losses, and that would be really tough.
All right. So Matt's ideal record is 13-7. That's actually my predicted record, and we will mark that on the calendars, come back to it on June 3rd before they start their series versus the Twins, and see if the Jays can get there. Speaking of records, though, Bones is perfect right now, and he was a Blue Jay. I am sad about it. He's 8-0. I'm going to try and get him his first loss when we come back on Locked On Blue Jays.
Hey, Blue Jays fans, the Stanley Cup playoffs rains on, and if you have some faith in the Leafs and you want to throw some money on it, maybe BetOnline is the place for you. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NLF futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Thanks for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. Recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, including these guys. I guess we're experts. Taking fans through the season like no other network. Free and available wherever you get your podcast. Matt Bonaparte, Ben Schulman. It's time for He Was a Blue Jay. We're not doing any music. We're not doing any pageantry, because I'm not here to joke around anymore, Bones. I am determined to try and get you out for the first time in the history of He Was a Blue Jay. We talked about it a bit at break. There were some close calls early on, and you know, you got a bunch of them to your, six of them of the eight for sure, to your own credit. I gave extra hints on two early on, which I deeply regret now. Now I got to come back and try and be the Grim Reaper and get you in another way.
I don't think, I got to be confident in my ability, but I do, I'm weary of the level of difficulty you're coming with today, but I'm confident in my ability.
Still will say, like, I'm confident you know every player that I put down. I didn't put anyone down that you wouldn't know. Let's get into it. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
For those who haven't seen it before, He Was a Blue Jay. Pick a niche Blue Jay or a guy that you wouldn't remember as a Blue Jay, even if he was, you know, remembered for other reasons as a big player. Give hints about his career. Some of them could be Jays related, some could not. Bones gets about 30 seconds or about three guesses between each hint. He's probably not going to get it on early ones unless it's Phil Negro, but he could throw out some wild guesses anyway. And yeah, that's pretty much the whole game. And if he gets it again, he moves to 9-0, and He Was a Blue Jay history. All right. Hint number one. although this guy was only a Jay for two seasons, they were a pretty fruitful pair of seasons.
Wow. Well, that doesn't give me a lot.
I will say, again, for the listeners, I have not changed any of these hints since I first did them, like, weeks ago. I have to make a new batch soon, but I'm not making them harder because he got wins, the same as they were before.
The first hint is tough because I can only think of Blue Jays that I know as Blue Jays. Like, my first guess was Chris Colabello, but, like, obviously he's only really a Blue Jay.
Yeah, so. And his is more of, like, a one-season kind of deal.
All right, move on.
Any other guesses? You want me to move on? All right. This pitcher only spent time with teams in the current AL Central, except for his 2 years with the Jays.
Okay. Current AL Central. So I'm automatically thinking he's a White Sox for some weird reason. So it can't be Sean Markham because he was a Met. I doubt it's Josh Tomlin. Josh Tomlin.
Not Josh Tomlin.
Well, imagine if it was. That would have been crazy. That
would be nuts. I'd be so angry. We would not have a third segment of the show.
Okay, let's move on.
All right, so the two hints so far, only a Jay for 2 years. Every other year, this pitcher played for current AL Central clubs. Number three, he won a World Series in three different cities. Whether that coincides with the Jays' time or not, I'm not going to confirm, but three different cities he won World Series in.
Okay, so let's think about AL Central World Series. You have the Tigers in 06. You have the White Sox in 05. Or no, the Tigers did not win in 06, sorry. You only have the White Sox in 05. So that makes it seem like he's a little bit older of a player, which does not bode well for me.
Mostly AL Central pitcher, two fruitful seasons with the Jays. Won a World Series in three different cities.
Jack Morris.
Oh, I hate you.
Let's go. You gotta Let's go.
We're doing
it. Oh, my goodness. I can't be beat. Oh, my goodness.
Number four was he was a major rival to the Jays ace the decade prior to his arrival
in Toronto.
Him versus Steve. And then the fifth one, which I actually think you probably would get it on. He's one of the more legendary Detroit Tigers of the last 50 years. All right. You got that one. We're going to keep going. Second, we're double episode because you got it fast. are you ready for your next one?
Yes, I'm ready.
For the majority of this guy's career, he was an adversary to the Jays rather than a friend.
Okay. Majority of this guy's career, he was an adversary to the Jays.
Okay, I'm so mad.
All right, I'm just gonna let this roll. What's the next hint?
You're gonna let it roll. Sorry, I had to change your record on my document to 9. Number two, 8 of his 12 years in the majors were with the Rays.
Okay, that helps. Okay, so that means he's a relatively current player.
The Rays haven't been around that long, so yes.
8 of 12. Okay, let's think of Rays that played at least 8 years in Tampa Bay. I mean, it's not Ben Zobrist. It's not Evan Longoria. It's not Jason Bartlett. It's not... Ooh, is it Melvin Upton Jr. / B.J. Upton?
And we do a third
Oh my
one
goodness,
in this
I'm
episode.
The greatest of all time.
Bones is 10-0. We move on.
Wow.
All right.
He was a Blue Jay? When?
Yeah. 2016, which was hint number three. Hint number four was his brother is also a major leaguer who he was teammates with once. Number five, which, like, this is the saddest part, the way you answered it. Number five is you wouldn't have known him by this as a J, but he's most known by an acronym name rather than his legal name. So when you said Melvin Upton Jr., it made me double sad. All right, let's... I don't even... Okay, yeah, let's continue. This is going to be a long one, probably. Hit number one for 10-0 Bones, and I have to start making new ones of these. In addition to playing in Canada's most populated city, Toronto, this outfielder played in the U.S.'s two most populous cities.
Okay, so he played in L.A. and New York. Outfielder, you said. Sir. Okay, we still don't have any kind of era, so I'll move on to the second hint.
This guy was a big triples guy earlier in his career, but when he was in New York, he was more of a big RBI guy.
Okay. It's not going to be Carlos Delgado.
Too obvious. Also, he's like, totally way too J. much of a J.
Yeah.
more of a J than a Met.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even think he played in LA either.
I don't believe he did.
Some reason my brain is saying Scott Podsednik. I know that's probably wrong.
Incorrect. incorrect. He was a White Sox World Series champion, I believe.
Yes, he was.
Going back to the two earlier ones you've already gotten this episode.
For some reason, I think this guy's a Met. A Met and a Dodger is what's in my head. I have no way of like confirming that, but I don't know. Is it Sean Green?
No, sir. Probably too much of a J for my liking to put it in here. Okay. All right, you want to hit number three?
Go ahead.
He got to the World Series three times, lost all three.
World Series three times, lost all three. Now, this one's tough. An outfielder played in New York. So let's think. It's probably a Yankee because he probably lost in like 2001 and 2003 or something. And then when did LA lose? They won in 2002. The Dodgers, did they lose? No, did they? I can't remember. No, they didn't. Not like that recently. So it must have been, he must have been a Yankee, right? I mean, this is tough.
Do you want to hit number four?
Yeah.
So he was a Met after he was a Yankee, and he was a J in the 2010s.
In the 2010s? Yeah. Okay, so he lost. He was on the 2015 Mets then. Had to have been. He lost three World Series, you said?
Yep.
And this is an outfielder who played in New York and L.A., and he was a Yankee and a Met. Curtis Granderson.
You suck. That is three in a row for Bones. That one I did think you were going to get because he's just too prominent of a player. And his last one would have got it for you. His career path goes Tigers, Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, Jays, Brewers, Marlins. All right. This has been the most dunked on I've been in any of these considering you got three in one session. So next one's going to be hard. But for now, give the tagline, please.
He was a Blue Jay?
Did you know Curtis Granderson was a Blue Jay?
Now that I remember, like, I vaguely remember him, like, leading off a couple games.
Yeah, he was, so he was with us in 18. We traded him to Milwaukee. They were in the hunt, but he was cool. All right, he was a Blue Jay. Locked On Blue Jays rolls on with some happier stuff for me when we come back. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? What do I look like, auto mechanic aficionado and Syracuse Locked On host Brad Klein? No, I'm not going to wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse and Brad Klein happens to carry. I have access with a computer at rockauto.com at home and in my pocket. I can save money when I do it using Rock Auto. Plus, it's a family business and it serves do-it-yourselfers. It's been serving them for over 20 years and the prices are reliably low for every customer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Back here on Locked On Blue Jays after I totally dunked on Ben and he was a J 3-0 on the day. I mean, how about that? Who's better than me? Thanks for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Ben, let's jump right in to our new segment. This is the first time we've ever done this. It is Today in Blue Jays History. Ben and I both pick an event that happened today in Blue Jays history, and we break it down and let you know what was going on in Blue Jays world on this day. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I have it on authority that yours is a little bit cooler than mine, so why don't I go first?
Okay.
And then you can kind of finish off the show for us. I'll head back. Also, yours is older, so I think it'll be more interesting. It's true. I head back 11 years ago to the day. Another Tuesday. How about that? Tuesday, May 10th, 2011. People who know how days of the week work, by the way, are not surprised, but I didn't know that. So the Jays that day start Kyle Drabek against John Lester for the Red Sox. Rich Hill / Dick Mountain is in the bullpen at this time. That's how far back we are because that dude is old. And it's a back and forth game. Jays take a 3-0 lead. They, you know, give up a couple runs. Adrian Gonzalez goes off in this game. 2 homers, 3 hits overall. Poppy hits a homer like he always would against the Jays. At the Rogers Center, by the way, this game. And it's just really back and forth. Bautista responds in the 5th with his 11th of what would be 54 home runs that year. J.P. Arencibia with a dinger. Frank Francisco blows a save. What's new that entire season? He and John Roush just handing away baseball games for fun. But where we focus is after Frank Francisco hands away a lead in the 9th inning off of, let me get there for 1 second, sir, Adrian Gonzalez's 2nd home run. That makes it 6-6. We go to the bottom of the 10th inning when walk-offs in extra innings still mattered. What a 2011 sequence that would never happen today because A, the extra innings rule is stupid, and B, how baseball works. Rajay Davis singles with one out, steals second base, and steals third base right after that. Just goes bang, bang, gets himself into scoring position. In his rookie season, 2008 first-round pick David Cooper comes to the plate. He hits a sac fly, and the Jays walk that game off. They win 7-6 in extra innings. Does their record end up being anything good after that game? No, 16-20. Are they good that year? No. But early on in the year, a really fun result. And for Cooper, who, you know, is a somewhat, unfortunately, of like a forgotten figure in Jays history, that's one of 2 walk-offs he ends up having in his career. Cooper, a first-round pick in 08 that played well, but unfortunately just succumbed to a very serious injury. I mean, the fact that he actually made it back to affiliated ball years later from a spinal cord injury is impressive. So, you know, a bright moment in the career of David Cooper, one of the brightest for sure, and a fun moment in an otherwise, you know, full of exciting moments, but also sad moments, 2011 Jays season. That's one of the brightest. David Cooper walks it off with a sac fly to beat the Red Sox at home.
That's a fun one. I like that one from you.
4-hour game. Tough. Only went 1 extra inning. That's pitch clock is coming, ladies and gentlemen.
mine is also a walk-off, a little bit of a different variety, as I'll take you back to 1989, in which the Blue Jays hosted the Seattle Mariners. It was Mark Langston on the bump for the M's, and he had a no-hitter going for 8 innings until the 9th, where he let up 3 runs thanks to a Tom Lawless single that broke that no-hitter and lost the game 3-2. It was the third time that it was the third time that the Blue Jays had broken up a no-hit bid in the 9th inning in their time as a franchise, which I think is pretty interesting. Also, the fun facts about that season is that that was such a fun team. They came first in the AL East that season, went to the championship series and lost to the A's, who eventually, of course, went on to win the World Series back in 89. And also, fun fact, was the first season that Cito Gaston was on, was the skipper. So he coached for, until 1997, and then came back
and
in
2008. And then he came back.
Yeah,
that's a forgotten part of his career. But yeah, the 89 Jays, I mean, they kind of lay the foundation that, you know, the Bobby Cox 85 Jays win the division, but then there's the lull. And then the 89 Jays are the foundation for the 91 AL East champion Jays, the 92 World Series champion Jays, and the 93 World Series champion Jays. And that one game doesn't make all the difference, but they only beat the Orioles in the division by 2 games that year. So you can imagine that that win, in the grand scheme of things, where you look like you're going to lose, ends up kind of being a major part.
Absolutely. As just like you said, sets him up for a couple of World Series back-to-back in the early 90s. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is now trying to get him back to that today. All right, that is it for Ben and I on today's episode. Thanks for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We'll be back tomorrow to break down the first game of the series with the Rays. Now make your second listen, Locked On MLB, with our guy PFS, Paul Francis Sullivan. Call him Sully. He'll bring you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past as well as present. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.